Thank you for being here. A good crowd has come back tonight for our visitors. We really appreciate your presence for the members here. We are grateful for your support and your strength and the invitations that you're sending out day by day and the preparation that you've made for this gospel meeting. As was made in the announcements, our theme this week is Life's Toughest Questions. And we're looking at the book of Ecclesiastes, at some of the things that Solomon says as he searches for the great meaning of life. And several of these issues he has touched upon. Tomorrow night we want to look at judgment. And you remember in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the very last verse, he says, God will bring into judgment. We're going to talk about judgment. And then on Wednesday night, what about hell? Brother Jerry heard me speak on this subject about 2 years ago now. And he said, Brother Herb, when you come to Woodbine, I want you to preach that sermon. We don't hear sermons on hell anymore. But wrapped up in that thought about judgment and receiving the reward for our deeds, it's either heaven or it's hell. But tonight we want to talk about how can I manage my time? It happened many years ago to the people of God. The Israelites are engaged in battle against the Amorites. Joshua is their leader. You read the story in Joshua chapter 10. And as that battle is engaged in, Joshua stands in the presence of all Israel and he says, Sun, stand still upon Gibeon. Moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed. And you remember that for 24 hours, one full day, the sun stood still, the moon stood still, and it enabled the people of God to become victorious. Can you imagine the sun standing still for an entire 24 hours? What would you do if the sun stood still for 24 full hours? Here's my question to you. If someone gave you an extra 24 hours, what would you do with it? Could you use some extra time? There's a song that has these words. There never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do. Once you find time. And that's true, isn't it? There never seems to be enough time to do what you want to do once you find time. We're really just very busy, aren't we? Busy, busy, busy. Have you noticed that lately? You're going here, you're going there. In fact, let me just ask you. I know this week is a little special, a gospel meeting. And we ask the members to come Sunday night and Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night. But here's what I would ask you. How many nights were you at home last week? How many nights? Now this audience may be just a little unusual in that many of you are elderly. And by sundown, you are ready to be home. But think about your kids who are raising your grandkids. How many nights were they home last week? Because you see, there's baseball and softball and soccer and a movie and this and that and the other. And the first thing you know, the week has gone by and you haven't been at home, not one night together as a family. What if somebody gave you an extra 24 hours? The sun stops. The moon stands still. What would you do with the time? Well, tonight I want to talk to you about one of God's greater gifts. The gift of time. The stuff life is made of. Got your Bible open to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. How can I make the most of my time? And there are four things that I want to share with you tonight about time. Solomon reminds us, first of all, time is passing. Time just keeps on marching, it keeps on ticking, it keeps on passing. One poem has these words. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. Then as with the years I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find as I travel on, time gone. Pretty true, isn't it? This July, about 3 weeks from now, I'll be 59 years old. At one time, I thought, he's 59? Man, what an old guy that is. I don't think like that anymore. But time has a way of doing that. A time has a way of changing your perspective. Time just keeps on passing. And that's one of the things that this great wise man of Ecclesiastes says. How can I make the most of time? Solomon reminds us that whatever you're going to do, you need to do it quickly because time is passing. You're in chapter 2, look at verse 3. The last part. He says, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men which they should do under the sun all the days of their lives. Another translation says, I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. Another translation has these words, I was able to determine whether this was good for mortals to do during their brief lives under the sun. Reminds me of what Job said in Job 14 verse 1. Man that is born of woman is of few days and that full of trouble. It reminds me of what James said in James chapter 4 verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? He asked that question. What is your life? And then he gives an answer. It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And that's one of the things that the wise man is sharing with us in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Man that is born of woman is of few days. Few days. Time just keeps on marching, keeps on ticking, keeps on passing. Look at chapter 6, verse 12. For who knows what is good for man in this vain life? Another translation says, for who knows what is good for man in his few and meaningless days he passes through like a shadow. Do you know what life is like? It's like a shadow. You go outside, the sun is shining, there's your shadow. After a while, shadow's gone. He says life is like a shadow. It's there, it's gone. Time just keeps on ticking. A friend of mine was out in California last year. While preaching for a congregation there, he was taken to the nursing home one day, and while he was there, he met Lucy Randolph, 107 years old. She was born December the 24th, 1898. Do you know anybody who was born in the 1800s? I've been privileged to know a few. My father-in-law was born in 1899. Wanted to live to the year 2000 so we could say he'd been a part of three centuries. He missed it 6 hours and 2 days. 2 days and 6 hours, being a part of three centuries. Now, she has six generations after her. Now you see, when I look out at this audience, I've already been here long enough to know that we have some grandmas and we have some great grandmas. Have we got any great, great, great grandmas here? I don't see anybody raise their hand. Six generations following her. You know what she told Brother Keith? 107 years old. If she lives to December the 24th of this year, 108 years old. She said, Brother Keith, life is so short. It doesn't seem that long. How would you like to live to be as old as Lucy Randolph? You say, not me, Brother Herb. I want to be Methuselah. I want to live to be 969 years. Let me tell you something, brethren. It does not matter whether you live to be 9 years old, 79 years old, 109 years old, or 969 years old. When you get there, life will have seemed so short. Because time just keeps on passing, keeps on marching. Someone has put it in these words. Have you ever watched a kid, or have you ever watched kids on a merry-go-round, or listened to the rain slapping on the ground? Ever followed a butterfly's erratic flight, or gazed at the sun in fading light? You better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. Do you run through each day on the fly? When you ask, how are you? Do you hear the reply? When the day is done, do you lie in your bed with the next 100 chores running through your head? Oh, you better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. Have you told your child, we'll do it tomorrow, and in your haste, not see his sorrow? Ever lost touch? Let a good friendship die because you never had the time to call and say hi? Oh, you better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Life is short. The music won't last. When you run so fast to get there, you miss half the fun of getting there. When you hurry through your day, life, or it's like an unopened gift thrown away. Life is not a race. Take it slower. Hear the music before the song is over. Ladies and gentlemen, even if I did not believe in God and did not believe the Bible, I would have to believe what God's Word says about time. I'd have to believe what His Word says about life. Life at its longest is very short. It just keeps on passing, keeps on marching, keeps on ticking. The second thing that I would say to us about time is important. If you don't believe time is important, I want you to go back to the month of March. The NCAA basketball tournament. The difference in many of those games came down to a half a second. A half a second was the difference in whether a team won or a team lost. MTSU is in the Sun Belt Conference. at the end of May, 1st of June, they had the Sunbelt field races. 100-yard dashes. 220 meters. 440. Mile run. In several of those races, the difference in whether you were a gold medalist or a silver medalist or a bronze medalist was 1/1000th of a second. If you were running in those races, time was very important. You want to know how important time is to you? How many of you are wearing a watch? Are you wearing a watch? Why are you wearing a watch? I know why. You want the preacher to quit on time, right? I heard about the preacher who was asked one time, "Sir, does it bother you for people to look at their watches when you're preaching?" He said, "Oh, no, no, no. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is when they start shaking it to see if it's still ticking." Well, time is important, even at church, right? Time is important at work. When I was in college at Lipscomb, I used to work for Cooper & Martin down at 4th Avenue in Lafayette. When I got to work, I'd have to get my time card and punch in. When it came break time, I'd have to punch out. By 15 minutes up, I'd have to punch in. My shift over, I'd clock out. Why did I do that? Because somebody in that organization took those time cards and according to how many hours I worked, that I could document for them, that's how many hours I got paid for. Time is important at work. Time is important at home. You don't take your watch off at home. Mama yells, "It's dinner time!" And you remember you can smell the fried chicken and the cornbread coming out of the oven, right? Well, that's the way it used to be, because now Mama yells, "It's supper time!" And everybody heads and gets in the car and they drive down to KFC, right? At least that's what the ad tells us. But time is important at home. Time's important at school. You have a time to get there, a time when the bell rings that you change classes, a time the bell rings again and that class starts, the bell rings and that class is over, you got a few minutes and the bell rings again and another class starts. Time is important. What's true at home, what's true at school, what's true at church, what's true at work is also true with God. Do you realize that time is important with God? In fact, God wrote an entire chapter about time, didn't He? You see it in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Time. Time is important even to God. What's Solomon telling us? He's reminding us that every activity has a time for it. By implication, he's reminding us time is important. You say, "Well, now, Brother Herb, that's Old Testament. Give me some New Testament." We're New Testament people. Ephesians 5, verse 16, Paul says, "Redeeming the time." What does that mean? Buying back the time. He's saying you need to make the most of every opportunity. He says about the same thing in Colossians 4, verse 5. walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Another translation says of that, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Sir, what are you doing? Oh, just killing time. Folks, don't kill time. Don't waste time. Time is the stuff life is made of. So time keeps on ticking. Time is passing. Number two, time is important. And number three, you can manage time. Time is manageable. You can use your time wisely. I believe some of us waste our time. I don't want us to waste our time. I want us to use our time wisely. So what I want to do from this great book of Ecclesiastes is to share with you three principles that I believe will help you manage your time. Chapter 12, verse 13. Solomon has been on that search throughout life for happiness. And he comes to the close of his life. And he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. If you want to manage your time, number one, you need to take time for God. Take time for God. We sing that song, take time to be holy. Would you do that? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but are you a daily Bible reader? How many of you take the time every day to listen to the voice of God? Let God speak to you. How many of you take a little time every day for you to open up your heart to God? When is the last time that you and your father met face to face? Now, I'm not asking you, have you said a little prayer? I'm asking you, when have you and God really met face to face in prayer? I want to tell you, folks, if you will give God some time every day, the time you have left is going to be used in a greater and better way with the blessing of God than if you leave God out and try to do it on your own. Take some time every day with God. Take time to be holy. Secondly, if you're going to make the most of time, you need to take some time for yourself. Look at chapter 5, verse 18. Solomon says, behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor that he takes under the sun all the days of his life, which the Father gives him, for it is his portion. Verse 19, every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth and has given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know why God has given you money and possessions? Do you know why? The wise man tells us, God wants us to enjoy them. To enjoy them, you've got to take some time for yourself. So if you like to read, spend some time reading. If you like to travel, take some of those trips. If you like to fish, oh, go fishing. If you like to hunt, go hunting. If you like to golf, go golfing. Take some time for yourself. There's no way that I can serve others and be a blessing to others if I am not first a blessing to myself. So spend some time with God. Put first things first. Secondly, take some time for yourself. But thirdly, take some time to serve others. Look at chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, that we're living in a world where a lot of folks need to be helped up? There are sick people who need to be helped up. There are poor people who need to be helped up. There are lonely people who need to be helped up. There are lost people who need to be helped up. And as God's people, we need to spend some time helping other people. So number one, spend time with God. Number two, take some time for yourself. Number three, take time to serve others, to help somebody up. But number four, time will end. We don't think it's going to end, but I'm going to tell you, time will end. Do you remember how the book of Ecclesiastes ends? It ends by saying that one day, time will end and judgment will come. God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. I want you to imagine, time is over, judgment is beginning. You're standing before the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne. You can't even look at it. It's so brilliant and glorious. But as you stand there, maybe you think about what the Apostle Paul or Apostle John said in Revelation chapter 20. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Here you find yourself. Start of eternity before the great white throne. You look around. As far as you can see, there are people. They're from every nation that's ever existed upon this earth. And maybe you think about what Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 and following. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all of His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And as far as you can see, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west, people. People from all nations. And you hear one of the angels say, Jesus! And suddenly everyone is bowing before the Holy Son of God. And maybe you think about what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse 11. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And you begin to hear everybody present with one voice saying, Jesus is Lord! Jesus is Lord! And maybe you think about what Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 2. God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And all of a sudden, Jesus says to the person in front of you, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then maybe to the person that is to the right of you, with tears in his eyes, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And now, my friend, it is you standing before God. You're next in line. Jesus begins to speak to you. How do you feel? The great white throne is before you. Jesus is sitting there with all the holy angels surrounding Him. All nations are there. And they're bowing before the great white throne. It's now your turn. You're next in line at judgment. How do you feel? Would you bow and say, Oh Jesus, thank You for coming. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for saving me. Or would you have to scream and cry and plead and beg for mercy? Would you have to say, "Oh Jesus, please not judgment now. Please tell me I'm dreaming. Just let me have 5 minutes to go back and then you come. Give me time to repent. Give me time to be baptized." But it's you standing before Jesus at judgment. How do you feel? I want to remind you folks, time will end. Right now your heart continues beating. 60 beats a minute, maybe 65, some of you maybe 70. And you're thinking to yourself, "I'm just going to keep on living. Hey preacher, I'm 14 years old. Oh. Hey preacher, I'm making good money. Paying all my bills, got a nice home, a good family, a great future." Time just keeps on marching. But folks, I want to remind you, one day, you will take that last step, and you will draw that last breath, and time will be no more. And that's why I encourage you tonight to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him save you tonight. You say, "Preacher, how can I do that?" By coming tonight and confessing that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Being ready to repent, that is, make a change in the way you're living your life. You've been living away from God, ready to live with God. You've been living away from the will of God, you're ready to surrender yourself and live according to the will of God. And you're ready tonight to be baptized into Christ, to have your sins washed away. It may be tonight that as a Christian, you realize you let your life get out of step with God. And you need tonight to repent. I want to urge you to step out for Jesus right now while we stand and while we sing.
Oh.